Welcome to Starfleeters Encore. I am Paul Prince, owner of Prince Games. I'm an FWB Online, then come online, then Starfleet Warlord. Just warning. Just a reminder how to join us. We have podcasts every night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You get a call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow their directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for Call ID 17702. Or you can also, for the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you will find us there. You'll be able to join the chat room and watch my lovely face. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, go over there. And that's sfuoncall. Or you can follow my personal account at Paul France, PaulFranz. Or you can follow my business account, Franz Games, FranzGames, and there's no T in that. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets to know podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news made to me this week. They got in the counter sheet for Basic Set and Klingon Border. And sorry, I wrote down Borden. I don't know why that happened. But anyway, now you can actually order a hard product and actually get the count, and you actually can get it fully. That's with all the rule books and actually the counter sheets also. And from the looks of it, they looked good from the picture that I saw them post on Facebook. And of course, this week on Found the Online Store, we have the Starfleet Times number 21 through 25. Again, $7.95 for the 5 issues of Starfleet Times, number 21 being the Grudar Special Part 2. With Ion Kind's IPG rules update and also 6 more Vudars. And number 22, which is the Federation Stealth Fighters. And then Andromedan conjectural PFs. They always were conjectural. Though I think they actually added some kind of PFs, sort of gunboats, into the Federation Commander later on, which was weird. But moving on to number 23, which is the product update with weird dreadnoughts, the Federation diplomatic dreadnought and the Klingon C9J. Are you kidding? Go back. The Zinni Escort dreadnought and the Gorn Commando dreadnought and the Lyran dreadnought tug. So, at the very least, they were kind of weird. And in number 24, they actually had Iridini, which is an actual real race, from SFB, and that's going the Omega. They call it the Omega Project at this point, but obviously it became a real product and shipped. And also number 25 is a tournament update, including 10 officially sanctioned tournament ships. This was a bad one. Fully updated, the weakest ships, the TKE, TKR, and Saturnus have been improved with extra phasers. I think the TKE was fine, TKR was fine. Saltorian, if I recall correctly, this is the one that you actually had the 10 phaser ones? Because, I think I might have 10 phaser ones. Made into a totally killer phaser boat. The Saltorian became a killer phaser boat that could just plow down people. And unfortunately, I still remember that one. And it still gives me nightmares. So moving on and forward to the SFB Online Tournament, we have the Sapphire Star 18 Tournament. 5 out of 8 games are completed, but there's still some good matchups still yet to be played. One of those especially is Stephen McCann in his Wax Phaser Boat versus Jude Hornberg. Von Nasty is his call sign. In the Lyran, that should be, in my mind, should be a very interesting game, given Lyran with its ESG, the wind with its drones, and of course the wind's going to be flying around like a freaking nut because it's in the phaser boat. That means it has lots of power to spare. Moving onward and forward to the library report. Not much going on there. That's a B. Same. FedCom, same, though I did check my email, and there will be some corrections for some ships coming this weekend. So with that, that is the news for this week. Oops, wrong one. And it's me, S.L.O. Poppins, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have Gary. Say hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Okay. Scared me, Gary. You scared me. I thought we had technical issues again. And Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Whoops. There. I keep doing that. I apologize. I tend to happen to do it every single week where I start to twitch my monitor over here on my iPad, and I turn down the volume after I get started. So one of these times I'll remember to do it beforehand, and it will shock me and shock everyone else, and I might actually pass out. But anyhow, until that time, Gary, how you doing? And there's a particular reason why you called in.
Well, other than to talk to yourself, Paul, and to you, Jared, as well. There's a few things. One is just a quick addition to the Shapeways talk that you guys were covering last time, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then a couple other things, but I'll start with the Shapeways thing, because on the BBS, there was a bit of a discussion about the resurrection of Shapeways, or the Shapeways 2.0 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw it on there. If you go to the BBS and go to the Shapeways section, mm-hmm. You should see a discussion about it, and basically talks about how the current owners, the current ownership group, rather,
right.
They are working out of the Eindhoven plant that is in the Netherlands. So right now, they don't have, well, unless anything's changed in the last few days, but
right.
At last reporting, their main setup was basically for customers in the European Union. If your people are trying to order it in this part of the world, then it's a bit trickier. Mm-hmm. So if I was still in Ireland, then I'd probably have a better time ordering stuff than here. But supposedly no storefronts have yet been set up the way that AEB had one before. So right now, it's only people that can, I think they can order individual items for themselves. But yeah, if you have a look, you'll see a few of the postings on the BBS under Shapeways store. And there's a little bit of a discussion. It's a few days out of date now.
Yeah, that was the last thing I see is from the 4th. The thing I see is from the 4th of December to from this Steve Call, of course, mentioning that they kept raising prices, but they never made a profit. And currently, they've indicated they're only located in the EU, unless they also get some production in the US. Price for most customers will be extremely high due to shipping and customs. Big surprise. I mean, if they are based in the EU, And Jessica said, a friend of mine tried an $8 test print with the newly revived Shapeways. He ran into this a $25 minimum and a separate $30 minimum shipping charge. Oof. So, at the moment, I'm assuming, given that additional fact that I missed last week, because this was 8 days ago, which means it definitely could have been brought into the discussion. And that is that ADB will still be looking for somebody in the U.S., that can create, print the miniatures. Because I'm assuming that Steve Cole, given all of the people who invested time, effort, money, into creating those models for Shapeways, that the ADB is going to stick with going with that printed approach, 3D printed approach, instead of going back to actual molds, whether molds for plastic or molds for crap, lead. Tell me, when was the last time anyone actually mentioned lead miniatures?
Oh, it's been ages. Nowadays, most of the arguments are over resin versus non-resin.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Right. Resin, which is printed, versus non-resin, which is just normal, molded plastic.
No, there's actually two different types that they use in the 3D printers.
Oh.
Two different methods. At least two different methods that I'm aware of.
Okay. So
But
I was just remember the injection. You do, a little bit at a
that's the
time.
traditional thing with the blister packs and all that. Yeah. Yep.
So, when it comes to takeaways, that's actually put another for ADB at the moment, still puts another nail for Shapeways at the moment. And the question is, will Shapeways come to the US? We'll have to wait and see, because from the sounds of it, just from the comment from Jessica or Signy, I guess. Yeah, or Signy. That things are just starting back up. Probably won't get a good indication of viability in Europe for, my guess is, 6 months. And from, as I mentioned last week, that when it comes to Shapeways, from the, what I what it sounded like from the website is that they were going to be focusing mostly on business to business. They sell to businesses that then sell the miniatures or any product that they print.
Yeah, which means they're going to be probably looking for bulk
Well,
sales.
right.
there
Was
is
he?
a comment in, like, a little bit further up that same page. There's a comment from Jean where she goes into detail in terms of various options and so on, and how it'll basically take time to get test prints and work things up and running and so forth. Because even like Shapeways 1.0, when ADB went on there, sure they ended up with a few thousand miniatures, but by the time everything disappeared, but getting to that point took a long time. So it's quite possible that even if whether it's Shapeways 2.0 or some other company, it's probably going to be a similar marathon in terms of trying to fill out, like making sure that the quality and the prices are there and so forth, and
Right.
maybe what kind of scales or ha they'd have in terms of the miniatures. Because at least now, it's there's a better sense of what's possible. Because when Shapeways first started, it was only really thinking about maybe the 3125 or 3788 scale miniatures, and then only later did they start doing the 2500 and 7000 scale miniatures, and doing miniatures at 285 scale for things like fighters, and doing scale miniatures for individual figures, like maybe for like a role-playing game or something. So some of those ideas didn't necessarily manifest quite just yet, like fully, by the time Shapeways 1.0 went away. But I'd be curious to see like how things would go. Because another thing too is because the miniatures are meant to be representing for like about four different game systems at once, one of the handy things that they had on the old Shapeways was, so you might recall how the 7,000 scale miniatures that they had before on Shapeways 1.0, they actually had a hex base attached to them already.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they were too small to, you know, mess around in terms of having more than one, running the stand on yourself. But that meant that the hex base is good for either a Starkey Battles or Federation Commander, but it's not great for a Call to Arms because a Call to Arms uses the circular bases.
Right.
So later on, what they started doing was that they were selling hex stand adapters. And the adapters even come with, or used to come with rather, at the 45 degree angles, you would have the lines to represent the firing arcs. So all you had to do was basically, if you had a sprue of like five or six 7,000 scale miniatures, whatever, you pop them out of the sprue that they come in, and then before you play them on the tabletop, you crack open the set of adapters, put each ship into each adapter, and then you're good to go. And the main difference is that because regular Call to Arms is written with like things like weapon ranges and movement rates in inches.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're using the 7,000 scale miniatures, they advise that you switch it to centimeters instead. And so that's basically, in theory, if or when a new system's up and running, again, whether it's Shapeways 2.0 or some other company, I wouldn't be surprised if the 7,000 scale wasn't like further up the timeline in terms of like how soon we'd see them. And also, that's the case, then hopefully the circular adapters will be on there too, so that people can use them for a Call to Arms right away, rather than having to wait another year for the adapters to show up.
Understood. So the way what you feel is that if ADB is able to come up, make a deal with another Shapeways-like producer, that the main focus to begin with will be the 7,000 series miniatures instead of the what was that, 3,200? I forget all of the sizes. But
so 3788 scale is basically the classic Starline 2400 series.
Hmm.
And the 3125 scale is the scale that Mongoose used for when a Call to Arms Starfleet was first created.
Oh, okay.
So typically, whenever miniatures had been released on Shapeways 1.0, they'd release them in both scales, except for like things like the Frax, for example, because the Frax were a simulator in part anyway, so it didn't really matter what scale they were. So I think they only just did those in 2400, in the 3788 scale. But any ship that's quote unquote real, they would actually offer it in both 3788 and 3125 scale. And sometimes what they do as well is that, like, you know how, for example, some of the Federation ships, they would offer them in classic style where the saucers would be smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd offer the Mongoose style where you'd actually see as the panel lines on the ships,
right,
and the saucers. So that basically meant that you would actually see the ship four times in the same release. So they'd release it at 3788 Classic, 3788 Mongoose, 3125 Classic, and 3125 Mongoose.
Right.
So that is another reason why the Shapeways 1.0 numbers were so high, is because so many ships had at least four variants on there, depending on whether or not the collector wanted a certain scale, or if they wanted them to be Mongoose or non-Mongoose. Now, I should note that for the things like the panel lining, they are too fine a detail to see on the 7,000 scale, so the 7,000 scale didn't bother. But the 7,000 scale did bother when it comes to, like, do you remember how the Romulans, like the Sparrowhawk, for example, Mongoose kind of redesigned the Sparrowhawk to make it look, well, I think it looks cooler, but they think to make it look more Klingon. Obviously, that was influenced by the Klingon in terms of the design.
Right.
Like with the port and starboard engines are like sloped out to the side, and the nose is more kind of Bird of Prey-esque or whatever. Not franchise Bird of Prey, but again, like a bird that eats things. But yeah, so basically, so what they did with that is that whenever Romulan miniatures were being made, like sprues were being made for the 7,000 scale, and if they had one or more of the Hawk series ships, they would actually do two sprues that they would release at the same time. And one of the sprues would have the classic version of the Hawk series ship, and then the second one would have the Mongoose variant of it.
Understood. So.
But, although, speaking of Romulans, I can imagine that, because one of the handy things that they had with Shapeless 1.0 with the smooth fine detail plastic is that it was see-through. So you
right.
could basically buy, you could even buy two of the miniatures and leave one of them unpainted as a cloaked miniature.
Yeah, that was a neat thing about Shipways, is that they actually would print out clear miniatures.
So that would be interesting to see if it's either Shapeways 2.0 or some new company, if they offer the same thing where people basically can have cloaked, or in the case of like Grossman, Stealth Field, mm-hmm. or whichever kind of sneaky, roundy technology that a certain species would have,
understood.
It would be reflected in the miniatures that you get.
Right.
So well, yeah, that's basically it. There's not, as I say, there wasn't, this is just, this particular subtopic was just kind of like a slight follow-on to what you guys were talking about before, but I just
understood.
Thought it worth chatting in with it, if that was okay.
Understood. But that definitely brings up the question in the future, which is, what is going to be, if much, variety in material? Because we don't know. You know, we don't know who A to B has been talking to. Because I know in the past, before this whole thing with Shapeways blew up, but was announced last week, I know A to B was looking for a replacement manufacturer, you know, to do this. And the question always is, when it comes to, well, material and costs, and how much will those cost to print, and how much, which means that defines how much it's going to, AV has to charge. And then, of course, as we discussed a little bit last week, which was, as I said, according to the news release, is it seems like Shapeway wants to focus on business, which brings up the question, which is, if another Shapeway-like manufacturer, are they going to require the same thing? Are they not going to say, no, you need to buy at least 10 of them from us, or whatever, and then you have to sell it. We're not going to deal with individual customers. We're just going to deal with you. You know. And
who knows?
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak for Shapeways 2.0 or anyone else, but I got the impression that's basically just what they're focusing on right now. Because, I mean, there's so many things that the previous company was doing that they can't do them all at once. So they're probably just easing their way into trying to basically get things up and running or whatever. And so
right.
It might take some time for them to figure out if they do want to bring a marketplace back the way that they had before, and if so, how they operate that. But I mean, it might even also depend in terms of which part of the world, like, certain marketplaces make more sense. I mean,
right.
Like, there's probably more people in North America that are into the SFU than in Europe. So maybe, you know, it's an effective way to run the marketplace on both sides of the Atlantic. That'd be great. If it makes more sense to wait until they have the North America producer, and then let them be the ones to, like, you know, run the marketplace, or, you know, get the materials together. Because I think somebody in the BBS comment was talking about how Shapeways 1.0, maybe they're a little bit overzealous when it comes to trying out new scales of material. But I think from an ADB perspective, at least, again, from a customer perspective at least. I personally only ever got the smooth fine detail plastic, or it used to be called frost filter detail. And I know there's other people that got the cheaper one, whichever one that was. But I think kind of like just two scales are enough. I mean, I don't think, because right. all the kind of like sub gradients, I don't know if they'd really be necessary for what ADB, what, you know, what we need, what we as fans of this universe in terms of miniature wise would need. So I think just as long as the plain one still looks presentable and the good one is fine enough to, you know, warrant the extra expense and preferably be translucent so you can leave it as a cloak ship if you want. I think that would be enough. I don't think that ADB, sorry, I don't think that Shapeways 2.0 needs to follow the same pitfalls in terms of spreading its design energy too thin by investing in too many different materials at once. Just at least for the when it comes to starship miniatures or figurine miniatures, like a Klingon Marine or something, just two scales, and as long as they both work, that should be fine.
Right.
That's my theory, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. Well, I'll just have to wait and see, because, you know, ADB has been mum about that. I'm not sure if that's mainly, well, I know beforehand they were looking at other places, but they at least... At this point, still don't have a replacement. But obviously, the one they do have a replacement for, it looks like, is people who will print out counter sheets. Found someone who will actually print out smaller batches. At least that's my understanding from ADB. And,
well, Gene did post a couple of days ago that they read the first batch of test counters from one of these, because they said that there's a number of different vendors they're talking to, and one of the vendors is the one that they just did a test order of counters for both I think it's Federation Commander Klingon Border as well as also Starfleet Battles Basic Set. And Steve Cole was posting that the quality is really good, that it seems to be a success so far. I mean, I don't know if they how soon it'll be before they end up on the actual storefront once again.
Mm-hmm.
But the signs are good. And there actually has been, I'm not too sure how much you've covered it in previous episodes, but there is a separate thread on the BBS that is basically for discussing the various countersheet options for different game systems. So technically, it's in the Starfleet Battles section. But some of the other game systems, like Fed and Empire and Starfleet Marines even, they kind of, end up in that thread as well.
Right.
So
well,
if you haven't already, might be worth having a look for it, and then we can have a chat about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you go to Starfleet Battles, New Product Development, and then scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see short run special counter sheets.
Right. And back in November 25th, on Facebook, AB was mentioning that, okay, for Federation Commander, Klingon Border, Graduation, and Klingon Space all are now available, but they will not ship until they receive the counterships at some point after December 10th, which was 2 days ago. And for Starfleet Battles, Basic Set is now available, but it will not ship again until we receive the countersheet at some point after December 10th. We will hold orders for that include these products or reprinted countersheets until the countersheets are available.
So the thing, the thing that Gene posted about the countersheets is in the, about the company, current ADB News. And she just says that the countersheets are now in the building as of Monday, December 9th.
Right.
And Steve Cole was saying that the quality is excellent, thick, round corners, clean printing. So, but yeah, there's there's some interesting ideas that have been posted in that previous thread I just mentioned, in terms of what short-run counter sheets could be possible. And I'd be curious to see what ones end up showing up. But right now, there's a guy he's basically proposing a new counter sheet from Module T, because that one needs to be replaced at some point. But before an official Module T update is done, Modules K and Y1 need to be committed to print, because those are both due for an update, and they're also due for a reprint. So both of those are basically having additional counter sheet space filled in, so like bring them up from 216 counters to 280 counters.
Yeah, I don't see it at this moment, but there it is. There had been a discussion about the counter sheets, and one of those things was they wanted to get a module T sheet. That's how
some people were asking if they could do a version of the module T sheet that had the Civil War colors for the different empires.
Right.
So that, say, for example, if you're playing a mirror match, you can, like, say, if it's like Romulan versus Romulan.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that, technically speaking, because there's like the three Romulan tournament cruisers, but if any of the three are fighting each other, thematically, it would make sense for one of the two players to use the Civil War colors, regardless of whether it's the Firehawk or the KR or the Eagle.
In theory, yeah. But
that might be something interesting.
Oh, agreed. But most of the time for those counters, the reason why you want them for, basically you want them for not Civil Wars per se, it's more of mirrors, where you have both players flying exactly the same ship. And you want to make sure when you have them on the board, you know which ship is yours. And of course, and not just your ship. I don't think the ship is much of an area issue as is the other extraneous counters, like shuttles, like drones, like plasma torpedoed, those kind of things, where you definitely want to know which one is yours. Going to get a lot more confusing.
Which leads me to a side question. Do you have the Civil War colors programmed into the client?
No. Actually, the funny thing is, I've yet to have anyone ask for it. At least to my knowledge. It's possible someone asked for it many, 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 many years ago, and I probably lost track of it. Okay. Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest. As I said, it's possible someone asked for it, and I totally forgotten about it by this moment in time.
Well, for what it's worth, I would probably suggest, because I think right now the only empires that have official Civil War colors are the Romulans, the Lyrans, and the Covintis. You can actually see them. When the new Module Y1 counter sheet comes up, it's actually going to have them on there, but you can already see them on the FNE Civil Wars counter sheet, because all three empires have rebel counters in those colors. So in theory, those could be done on the client now, but for other factions that don't yet have official Civil War counters, it might be better to find out what are those colors going to be once ADB gets around to figuring out what they are. And they're only then basically putting them into the client, because it will save you the hassle of having to do it a second or third time.
Yeah, I can check some, because I think there's an alternate solution that I offer. Let me just do something real quick. I brought the client real fast. I think I can do this and Options. There it is. Yep. Do, do, do. And I go with that. One thing you can do next, which is in the client, I allow you to specify a stripe color. So instead of having alternate counters, you can, like, the whole original idea of the stripe colors was mainly for large battles, so that each side could mark their ships with a stripe, with a stripe color, so they know whose is whose. And obviously, you can do the same thing with the tournament room. So if you have a civil war, each player the mirror scenario, you can actually have it so that each person selects a stripe color, and therefore you have a definitive color which is yours, and therefore you can easily tell the difference between the two ships. And as I pointed out, more importantly, the extraneous expendables, you know, drones, plasmas, shuttles, that kind of thing.
Well, just actually while you're there, do you have a separate tab on your browser if you want to bring up the ATB online store?
I must have closed that. Oh, I had it open earlier I'm sure you, if you listen to the podcast, part of the news portion is always on you know, this week and on the online store. So, okay, what do you mean look at?
Well, yeah, if you go to the online store, just basically go to shop. And then under that, go to Federation of Empire. And then under that, go to Counter Sheets. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see there's a link for the FNE Civil Wars double-sided counter sheet.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you have the the pink background for the Romulans.
That's right. Pink with the black ship is Romulan. And then purple with the yellow ship is Rebel Lyran. And then orange with the white ship is Rebel Xinti.
Honestly, it looks like it has wings with a red on a yellow background.
The red ship on the yellow background is for the wind cluster, that's right.
And
those are the
green ships. With yellow background is, looks like it says loyal something.
Loyal Lyran,
okay.
Because some of those ships that you see on there, they're some of the ones from the middle years. Like the fourth part was war and so on.
Right, it says early, yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense.
Because if you look in the bottom left hand corner of the counter sheet, you'll see that some of those middle years ships are in the Rebel fleet colors as well. Because I think the idea is that historically, the last major Lyran civil war was just before the Four Powers War broke out. So I think that there's going to be a scenario covering that in the FNE Civil Wars module. And when that happens, these are the colors that you're going to see.
Okay. I'll just make sure that that didn't already exist. You were talking about it in future tense. And like, so we have the counter sheet, we just don't have the product.
Yeah, it's just the timing thing there. Because I think the HQ call was saying that he wants to get Civil Wars, the product out in the new year, as well as a new edition of the basic set, sorry, the core rule book for FNE. And then once both of those are out, then finally work can begin starting on the Andromeda War.
Understood. I know Steve Cole doesn't want any guesses, help, in that when it comes to that product. But I think it should be interesting to see how the dramas are handled within FNE. I think that will really be an interesting product. Because heck, I would read the rules for the Andromeda just because of how interesting that is going to be into actually integrating that in to the FNE product, which is at the normal scale, is you got everyone has their territories, and then you have people extending it, and you have your different schedules when it comes to the what ships get built and so forth. But the Andromedas are a totally different animal. Again, just like an SFB, they're a totally different animal. So in that, how do they resolve some of these things? And as I mentioned when we actually had the discussion a while back about it, one thing that bothered me was that from what Steve Cole said, you had put on the bulletin board, that is that the Andromedas still will be flying at the same speed as Galactics when it comes to logistics networking. Basically, strategic movement will be the same speed. I'm not sure what the differences will be between the Andromedans and the Galactics when it comes to strategic moving. Is there nothing? Is there nothing different? Because
I have a guess. It'll be hidden.
well, so
And it will probably disregard ownership. So
true.
you don't have to worry about control.
Right. You don't have to worry about who, yeah, who owns what re I should say region.
In other words, you probably won't need connections
Right.
in the same way that you do.
You actually will, certainly you will, because what happened is we don't yet know for sure how fast the Andromedan ships are at operational movement.
Right.
But we do know that, however it is, it's actually the same speed that the Magellanic Empires in Module C5 do. So it must be something shorter than 6 hexes per turn. So whether it's 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever, we'll have to find out. So, but the crucial thing is that the operational movement is slower than an Alpha Octant ship, which means that if the RTN is not there for them to use, they're actually much easier to pick off in open space. But the strategic movement, it is basically it goes by warp 15, so it's about 3 times faster than the strategic movement for Alpha Empires, but it's dependent on having enough bases that are within range. Because, like, for example, a standard Alpha ship has to have a strategic movement node every 6 hexes.
Right.
But if it's an X ship, those hexes can be 7 hexes away. Those nodes can be 7 hexes away. So it could be that the Andromedans, like, again, you have to be wary of, like, how many RTN nodes within that region. Because the thing as well is that when you're doing strategic movement, the reason why you need the node is because a ship can't use its own navigation. It has to go by signal beacons that are being set up. And also, so for example, like, say in Federation space, what Starfleet is doing, one of the things that they're doing when there's not a war on is that they're exploring the territory, the open space that's between their star bases and their battle stations or whatever, because they're basically making sure that once these signal beacons are being put in place so that ships can use strategic movements, they're not going to go flying into a rogue planetoid or a black hole or something that the navigators didn't spot when they were scanning that region of space. Because when you're traveling that speed, even a relatively small object is, like, you know, pretty fatal. So the fuel expenditure is really high because you're burning up matter and antimatter at a relatively high rate, and I guess you're kind of burning through your dilithium crystals in terms of, like, regulating the warp, the intermix. So you have to stop every certain amount of time so that you can do kind of maintenance on the engines and then, you know, refuel the tanks and maybe get a fresh batch of crystals for, like, dilithium or whatever, and all these other things. So that's one of the reasons why strategic movement is more limited compared to, at least for Alpha Empires, relative to what the operational movement is. So for the Andromedans, it has been mentioned in the background material that it actually is one of the key reasons why taking down the rapid transit network was so important, because when they first discovered that the network existed, they were having trouble basically figuring out how to destroy the nodes fast enough, because each node, when it was discovered, it was either too slow to get to the node, because what would happen is a ship, maybe one or two nodes away, like a mothership, would show up at the base, unpack it, and then beam it aboard, and then zip off to the nearest one, and then plant it somewhere else. And once it's been moved and replanted, you have to start the process of searching for it all over again. And doing this basically was more of an inconvenience to the Andromedans relative to the damage that they were doing to the Alpha Empire's economies. And the only way to really get over that is to basically start breaking out those ships that were powerful enough, either by themselves or with their attendant fighters or fast patrol ships, to destroy those nodes, or at least to prevent them from being moved, so that follow-up ships can help get rid of them. And once you have enough of those doing those kind of missions, then what happened is that as the network started being destroyed, the areas of space where there wasn't RCN nodes basically meant that any Andromedan ships that were still on the network they had to move by operational movement to get back into those cleared zones if they wanted to try to maybe replace the base. And the more open space there was, the harder it was to get to build those bases. And any Andromedan ships that were in the middle of those cleared spaces were trapped, basically, because if they couldn't get close enough to a satellite base to go back to the RTM in time, then they could be hunted, they'd be chased down and destroyed. And so this was actually one of the key turning points in the war, in the standard timeline, is that so much of the network was cleared that the Andros basically ran out of road for them to be able to actually outmaneuver the Alpha Empires on the RCN to the point where they couldn't anymore. And they basically, what was left was Operation Unity. So I suspect, now again, I'm really trying not to go against the whole thing where we're not meant to speculate on what's going on with Andrew War until the stuff comes out. But I'm just saying that from a background material, some of the stuff that's been published in Starfleet Battles and other places, it is going to be crucial in terms of what the range for the strategic, in terms of what the Andromedan equivalent of strategic movement nodes, like how many hexes away from each base the next base has to be before you're out of range, because without that, it's going to miss a critical component in terms of how to actually defeat them. So I guess what I'll say for now is when the preview or whatever next stage gets posted, I strongly suspect that the answer to that question is going to be a major component in terms of how they're going to play out in that game system.
Yeah, that would surprise me. But, well, no. It's one of those things that, I think it will be fascinating to see how it all gets organized and played out. I think you're right in what you say, in how it's going to not work, but how in quote unquote real life it should work, you know. Trying to avoid that, the whole thing saying that, oh, it's got to work this way.
I guess the other thing I wanted to try to hit on a bit in terms of topics was actually kind of like an adjunct to the SME countersheet discussion, because one of the things that I was thinking would be interesting is because there have been previews for the Paradians and Caradivans in for Fedlan Empire in Catalog. And in theory, if there's not quite enough demand for them, or maybe because you'd need new map sheets as well for them to play on,
right?
Those empires might make sense to do in a limited run. If there's enough players who do want to get those, then, but part of the issue as well is which variety of ships you'd want, because right now there's module C6 in Starfleet Battles, but in theory there could also be a module C6R, and one of the things that you could see in module C6R would be X ships. So to kind of loop things over to SFE for a minute, I was posting in one of the C6R subthreads on the BBS as well, and I was just speculating a bit in terms of what an X technology version of the quantum wave torpedo might look like.
Hmm.
So if you had a third moment, I was curious as to whether you want to have a quick look there and see if there's anything that looks interesting, or if you had any alternate ideas.
I might have missed it. So is there a current discussion on the BBS, or is this
on the BBS? Yeah. So yeah. If you go to back to the SFB portion of the board,
mm-hmm.
and go to new product development, then go to module C6R.
Okay.
And then there's a thread there called Cradian X ships.
Hmm. Wow. But it started 5 years ago. But anyhow.
Yeah, there was an even older one too, but this one was like more specific one, but you know, things have been these couple of years have been a thing. Somewhat mildly when it comes to all sorts of stuff going on. But I was just thinking in terms of, we know what X technology looks like for most systems, like batteries,
right,
and phasers and so on. So those would not really be that big a surprise. There's probably a few details in terms of the engineering of the ships, because the ships are designed to land on planets, they don't necessarily have as much breathing room internally to be able to, you know, stuff in as many new systems compared to what a ship designed to stay in open space would have. But depending on where certain phaser mounts are located on the non-X version of the ship, can you put, like, is the most you can do upgrade them to phaser 1Xs, or can you put, you know, how for example some Federation ships, they have they'll add an additional, it'll be like a backup 3 phasers rather than 2 phasers on a certain part of the ship or whatever. So that sort of thing. Can that be done or not? or can you add more X batteries? Because anyway, the main thing I wanted to talk about would be the quantum wave torpedo itself, because the main thing would be to try to find a thing that would be in character, but would basically not necessarily follow the same path that plasma or drones or other kind of seeking weapons have followed in Alpha when it comes to making them work on X-ships. So.
Understood. Get back to you quick. Da-da-da. Right. Because normal quantum torpedoes can already launch one torpedo per turn. So it comes, I assume you're talking about first generation X ships here, correct?
Yes, X1 ships, that's right. Because it's too early to figure out what X2 ships would do. But right now, I mean, the question would be, what would a first generation X ship version of a quantum wave torpedo look like?
Understood. Yeah, I see that you originally suggested that X quantum QWT has Sabo function, just because basically the other X plasma torpedoes being launched from Gorn and ISC, X Wing Shins basically also had Sabo.
Now, one thing that's interesting is that, well, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but so quantum wave torpedoes, like non-X quantum wave torpedoes, were not given a Sabo function.
Right.
So even in the Y-180s and afterwards, when their enemy fleets and the Gorns and ISC and even Orion pirates, they get Sabo plasma torpedoes even before X technology comes out. But the Paravians don't. So it might be the case that even if the X quantum wave torpedo was given a Sabo option, that it only applies to the X torpedoes and not to the non-X torpedoes. So that might basically put more of an onus on either converting to a full X ship or seeing if there's a way to install a partial X refit with an X quantum wave torpedo onto an older ship.
Right. Don't mind me. I forget, the quantum wave torpedoes, are they just standard energy, i.e. they don't require warp or impulse or anything like that?
So when you fire it as a standard warhead, the standard quantum wave torpedo takes 2 points of power, and they can be from any source. So you can either arm the whole thing at energy allocation, you can contingent allocate it, which is 1 point, and then you have to pay the second point with reserve power, or you lose the energy at the end of the turn. Or you can arm it with reserve power entirely during the turn. So the standard warhead is power from any source. But if you want to turn it into an overload, you have to add 2 additional points of power, but the 2 added points have to be warp power. Which for a non-X Paravian ship is a challenge, because Paravians don't have warp reactors. They have to use their warp engines to overload their quantum wave torpedoes.
Okay. Which brings me to the question when it comes to the X plasmas, and forgive me for not knowing this, which is that, do the X plasmas actually, can they launch at a faster rate? Instead of taking 3 turns, taking like 2 turns?
If I recall correctly,
they do have a faster launch rate if you want them to, because you can. In there's a one of the modes that they have is that in the second term of arming, you can pay full second and third turns worth of power all at once, and then launch it fully. And also bear in mind that most X-Plasma ships, they have more powerful warheads. So, for example, if you have a smaller ship that had Plasma F torpedoes, they become Plasma L torpedoes.
Right.
And or sometimes even Plasma S. And then if you've got like a Firehawk or something, the Plasma S torpedoes on a bigger ship like a cruiser, they become Plasma M torpedoes. So like a Firehawk goes from having 100 points not counting envelopers, like 100 points at launch, that becomes up to something like 140 launch, I think, or 160. Because you're getting more plasma out of the ends, and then also the side nacelle mounts are more powerful as well. So you've certainly got a lot more plasma, and you're launching it more often because if you have those X batteries, then you have additional reserve power to be able to get those torpedoes on the board faster.
Right. But to do that, you need it requires you using the reserve power. And correct? Or am I understanding that wrong?
I have to double check that because you might be able to do it in energy allocation on the second turn as well. If you have the electronic master rulebook PDF on your computer, near the back of it, it should have the revised X rules to include the revisions for module X1R.
Master.
Yeah, it's called Plasma Rapid Load. There's a separate thing, which is Plasma Fast Load, and that basically means that any X-Plasma launcher that's bigger than a Plasma F can rapid load, can fast load a Plasma F torpedo if it wants.
Okay. Mines, I'm in the planets. Terrain, that is. Well, W. Okay. That's module K. That's module C1. Oh, okay, damn. I'm trying to find the X rules.
Yeah, the rule is XFP 1.26.
Okay. Okay, so I'm looking for. I'm missing it. Like, don't mind me. Oh, X 0. Okay, there it is. Aegis for control. I wonder. Okay. So fire control actually is a 3-impulse delay instead of a 4-impulse delay, which is always good. And hellbars put PPDs. That's okay. Direct fire weapons. I'm assuming there's a proposal because I don't think there's any. There's no Saturnian X ships, right?
Not that I'm aware.
Yeah, I was saying look for XF. Sorry, tell me again your question.
I don't think there's any Saturnian X ships, right?
In Module X1R, there are, yes. They have an X-shaped particle cannon rule as well, and modified rules for the X-web breaker, too.
Yeah, it's, I know that the particle cannon rules would actually allow you to do a second overload shot as a second shot.
And they lower the delay from 12 impulses to 8 impulses.
Wow.
Nice.
I'll agree that very nice. Very
and
nice.
They have a the capacitors up to 7 points on a X particle cannon as well.
Holding a cannon can hold a maximum 7 points of energy at any time. So instead of 5, it's 7. And this can include reserve power. Can I be okay? Right. As always, that is the Satori may choose to have less power in their capacitors than the maximum, which is 7 at the start of the turn. Things fight twice a turn, just like previously, but within 8 impulse of the previous shot. Discharge energy from the capacitor does not reset the 8-impulse delay. Which is good. Okay, this is X drones, plasmas. Right, okay, yeah, there's fast arming, which X-ships may arm and fire the plasma torpedoes in one turn, but the result is a Type F torpedo. Type F torpedo costs 7 points to arm, and it cannot be developing our shotgun. Big surprise. That's enough. Use fast loading to complete the arming of torpedo. Now, rapid torpedo arming, this method is arming, requires 2 turns, but can produce a torpedo full size. Basically, second and third turn of arming are of an X, non-X torpedo, it's applied on the second turn, which can be expensive, if anyone knows. The torpedo is treated as one that's been completed in 3 turns of normal arming. Which, I mean, brings up the question with quantum wave torpedo, would they want it to have it basically a single turn overload instead of requiring a 2 turns.
Well, what I was thinking is that I wouldn't necessarily want to create like a new type of quantum wave torpedo that needs a new arming chart, because that basically adds to the workload in terms of actually trying to play test or such a thing, because you'd have to basically get people to actually try these new like heavy quantum wave, whatever you want to call them, and actually figure out like if it's balanced or not. And that's more work than is necessarily good. And also I don't know whether or not like from an in-universe perspective, if that it would make sense for the Paravians to want that, like whether it's something that would suit their mindset, to basically kind of copy what the Plasma the Empire enemies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually thinking that you could basically allow a quantum wave torpedo to launch a second torpedo in the same turn, but only one of the two torpedoes can be a overload. So kind of like the particle cannon for a non-X ship, but there'd be no capacitor, so each torpedo would still have to be armed and launched separately. And but there, one of the other ideas that came up in the thread was to instead add a shotgun mode to the quantum wave torpedo, where you basically you'd pay a bit extra when you're arming it, and then you basically have two standard torpedoes launched at the same time. But usually, when you do a shotgun, they have to be on two different targets. So that might be useful if you're in a squadron or if you're fighting a bunch of fighters or fast patrol ships or something. But it wouldn't necessarily be much use in a duel. So that's another option that was put out there. But if it was basically, if you're thinking of the rules for alpha for plasma shotguns, those tend to basically have like an energy surcharge because you're paying for the splitting of the torpedo. And then if you have the Sabo upgrade, you're paying for each of the the shotgun torpedoes, you're paying separately for each of those to go speed 40. So if you're looking at the quantum wave torpedo, you'd probably end up basically paying 8 points of power to launch two shotgun torpedoes at Sabo speeds. And I might wonder if does the shotgun energy have to be warp power because you're adding warp power for the overload or something like that, whatever. So I'm personally not too keen on that idea relative to the idea of having consecutive like, sequential launches, like one, and then you have like a firing delay, and then you launch the second one. But even so, I wanted to kind of put both ideas out there to see do either of them make sense for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a question. Because honestly, I don't think having so the one torpedo can fire twice a turn is a viable option, just because of it never could fire twice a turn before. You know, it can fire once a turn, and that's fine. And I think definitely the idea as like of having so that one of the abilities that the quantum torpedo for the X ships introduced is the ability to overload in a single turn. Now, actually, the one thing I was thinking about when you were talking, which was that. Okay, remind me. The quantum wave torpedo, one, the weapon itself is just both an Omega and Alpha, correct? Meaning they use the same weapon when they left the Alpha Octant and moved to the Omega, those survivors.
So before I answer that question, I just wanted to double back to something. You were saying something about overloading each turn, because you already can overload a quantum wave torpedo each turn. The only thing is that you need to have the warp power available to do it. So, but yeah, basically, whether or not with the current rules for quantum wave torpedoes, it's basically just a power and a range issue. But whether you overload the torpedo or not, the firing rate doesn't get changed. So you can still chuck them out every turn. So the difference would be with what I had in mind for the X quantum wave torpedo is that you would basically add a second launch opportunity for the same launcher in the turn, but you'd have to choose whether the first launch or the second launch in each turn gets the overload or not. So basically, you're giving it kind of like a 50% overall firepower increase. But you're doing it in a way that you still have to stagger it, because you have to figure out when you're actually going to launch that second torpedo, or if you maybe want to use that reserve power for something else, or like, is the opponent going to be able to turn a different shield to it? So it's not a magic bullet by any sense. It's more of a thing that basically still leans into the maneuverability of the Paravian ship. Like, you're still having to go fast and turn a lot and try and pick your spots, which I think is more kind of in character for. I think they want a weapon that, you know, leaned into that that agility and so forth, which they're going to need, because when they're facing enemies with big plasma and also PPDs, in the case of the ISC, they're going to want to stay fast and stay agile. So it seems to me, at least, that that would be a way that they might approach it. But again, that's only just one person's idea.
Right.
But in terms of in Omega, I've been hoping that in a future issue of Captain's Log, there'd be a way to confirm that the Paravians in Omega do in fact use the same quantum wave torpedo rules. But right now, though, the only playtest Omega SSDs for the Paravians, the ones in Captain's Log 54, they're the ones that use the anti-proton weapons from the Eumatrians. So they don't have quantum wave torpedoes because they would have been replaced with the anti-proton weapons. But the idea that I had, such as it was, is that the entire fleet would not be turned over to this, that they would have both types of ship available. But that hasn't been formally spelled out yet. So I'm hoping there might be an opportunity to spell it out in the future. But at this time of us chatting, I should say, it hasn't been formally locked in.
Mm-hmm.
In print.
Right. Right. And I'll just do a quick scan, and Steve Cole hasn't really put his two cents into the discussion at all. Of course, some of the discussion is a little bit old. As I said.
Well, I mean, this is more just a kind of a idea for future consideration right now. It'll probably be a while before ADB kind of
take
a second look at any of this kind of stuff right now.
Oh,
so.
Agreed. I was just wondering if ADB had thoughts themselves, in which case it would indicate which direction that ADB is actually going with the X-ships for the Paravians, i.e., the X version of the quantum wave torpedo.
Well, I guess the best thing right now would be if anyone's listening here and they've got any thoughts about what they'd want the X version of the weapon to look like, then they can hop in the thread and post about us. And the same is true for the Carnivores, because there's a separate thread that discusses Carnivon X technology, and
right.
People can maybe speculate on what some of those things. But I think that for the Carnivons, at least, the disruptor cannon kind of seems like, because it's a two-turn firing weapon, and other two-turn firing weapons in Alpha, they've been given like a fast load option that's limited to 15 hexes. So it seems like, you know, that could be one way of approaching it. But I don't know, maybe there's like some more unorthodox way that they'd approach things. So, but yeah, I mean, ideally, if there was a module C6R in the future, and it was the place where these kind of X rules could be published, that would be interesting. But in Captain's Log, I guess the question would be how much space, because each issue of Captain's Log, like, it's not just about putting the SOPs, it's also assigning page space so that you're printing the rules that you need to fly those ships. So, for example, if you presented a set of X ships for the Carnivores, you'd need to offer all three rules. Like, here's what the X tryptophan does, here's what the X heal inhibitor does, and here's what the X death bolt is. Right. So that's more page work relative to the prey goods, which is, I'm not, again, like, it's, so it's not saying that, you know, I mean, it's up to ADB to decide if the space is worth it. And of course, I'm sure there's, if people who are interested in the carnivores would like to see what that does. But you don't have that competition for page space in the same way if it's the rule book for what would be module C6R in the future. So, but again, you know, whichever is the best way to get these ideas out there, the better, of course.
Mm-hmm. Understood. The biggest issue, I would think, for me, when it comes to carnivores at all, is that basically they died. They were killed off, and they don't. There is a possibility, slim as it might be, to, you know, whisk themselves away into like Lost Kingdoms kind of thing that the Hydrans have. You know, a safe space away from the war, away from, and people think they're gone, but they're not really gone. That kind of thing. But to me, the biggest issue there always is that would the carnivores actually create X ships? You know, there was, since, unlike most of the general war, that the X ships themselves are created because of the pressures of war, the requirement, the need to have stronger and faster ships versus, you know, if you hide yourself away. And outside of that minor possibility, as I mentioned, that they're considered, you know, that they were killed off, basically. Versus the Peruvians, which seem to live for another day by getting themselves out of God's creation, you know, and from Alpha Octant and fly over to the Omega Octant, at least, you know, the refugees kind of things that was able to escape before, you know, the Sun Snake imploded, you know, went into the star and killed everyone on the home planet of the Peruvians.
It has been hinted at that a group of carnivores might have successfully fled to the Sargasso Storm Zone, which is the Octant that's further on the far side of Leon and Hydran space.
Right.
But if they did get there, then they're not going to be coming back anytime soon. And I guess from a design perspective, the problem is that because we don't know who else is in Sargasso, you'd have to invent some enemies for the carnivores to fight when they get there.
Right.
But the handy thing about Omega is because we have rules and SSDs for some of the empires that the Peruvians fight when they get there, then in theory, once we know more about what the Peruvian ships and weapons are for non-X ships in Omega, then should Omega X technology ever be developed, then you could see historical X ships for the Omega Peruvians too. But even if you're not going outside of Alpha, the alternate timelines that are in Module C6, they should still be enough to allow people to make use of X technology for these two empires without having to be entirely tied to the standard timeline. But the main issue there is you'd need alternate maps in order to, because the maps are in Module C6, but you'd need to print versions of them in for FME that people would basically use instead of the standard FME map. But I'd say there is enough leeway that exists already to allow a future like C6R module to add the X ships and give them enough of an opportunity for people to use them. So I guess then once people figure out what the actual technology should look like.
Anyhow, with that, it's getting late, and I need to shut this thing down so I can actually get some sleep, which will be a good thing. So, Gary, it's been lovely having you around and lovely discussing things with you. You have a good night.
Thank you. And if you have a bit of time to, I guess, because it was late in the conversation that we got to this topic, but if you've got some time over the next week or two and you want to have a look, a bit more look at that BBS topic about the quantum wave torpedo, then maybe something that we could pick up on in the future, or if you want to post anything on the BBS, then it'd be interesting to see what your thoughts are once you've had more time to percolate them, I should say.
Right. Understood. Okay, cool.
Okay, thank you, and have a good night.
Bye. You too. Doug, it's always awesome to have you around. Obviously, sidetrack things from the original topic, but that's fine. You know, we will do that next week. We should have time to talk about what's going to be the topic for next week. Then that topic for next week is going to be how badly I did when it comes to the Sapphire Star 18 tournament game and what I did wrong, I'm not sure if I did anything right. I'm not sure whether it's tactics or just my own flying. But anyhow, Doug, you have a good night. And I don't think he's still here. Anyhow, I think I'll use him just in case he comes back in the middle of this whole thing. So, anyhow, had a nice little discussion about the QWTs, brought back Shapeways, and I think that when it comes to ADB, I think that that's going to be an interesting thing is how they're going to solve the miniatures thing again. They looked like they had a wonderful technology, and I think that that's the technology that they still want to go forward with. But the question is who? You know, Shapeways to come back from the dead, but, you know, they're currently all located in Europe, so we have to see how that all settles out and see if AB might be using them again. In that case, I think that would mean that Shapeways actually would start up some manufacturing in the U.S. As I said, you know, I'm not sure if that's in the cards or not, or AB is going to look for another company. My guess is another company, honestly, if they want to get it done within the next 6 months. You know, and currently the biggest issue with that at the moment is that we don't have those miniatures. The only miniatures that they actually can get are the ones made of lead. You know, the old style miniatures, not the ones made out of resin. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.